Turn for me, please, to the book of the Exodus, the book of the Exit, the book of the Deliverance. Exodus and chapter 3. We're reading from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses has had this great encounter at the burning bush that was not consumed, where he indeed did behold a great sight. And he was bid to not look upon that sight, lest he be consumed. And there the Lord God, the great I Am, revealed himself as he is to Moses. I am that I am. The all-sufficient, sufficient of myself, the God who always has been, who is, who was and is to come. And then he has said to Moses this great commission he's given to him, that he has beheld, he has heard the cry of his people who have been there in Egypt, under the sovereign will of God, 400 years in bondage, as was promised and told Abraham some years before, that they went down and they were there in bondage till a Redeemer should be sent. Moses being that man who would typify the Lord Jesus Christ, whom all these things picture and point to. They point to the great redemption of God, of his people. Egypt always typifying in the Old Testament that being in bondage and dominion to sin. And Moses, the servant of God, typifying the great mediator who is Christ Jesus, through his great sacrifice at the end of the ages, has indeed brought deliverance to his people. Redemption, eternal redemption. Now we saw last time, did we not, in verse 12, Moses tells God, he says to God, who am I? Who am I that I should be sent to appear before great Pharaoh? To represent the living God before Pharaoh? And we saw, did we not, that this is a true qualification of a servant of God, to always see first and foremost their inadequacy in and of themselves, to see that they have nothing, to see that the man sent of God has nothing to have confidence in and must lean only upon God, and if God be not with him, he has nothing to say. And we turn this evening to these words we find here in verses 13 to 15. Now we will not exhaust this evening. Our time would not allow to in one sermon to deal with these verses. But I want to look at 4 points this evening from this. And God willing, we shall look again next Sunday morning at this. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, when I come to those people who I'm going to tell them, believe this God, believe this Saviour God, he sent me with this message of deliverance, that you will be delivered from your bondage, your captivity, that you must believe this message and you must follow after this message. You must follow me who's been sent of God. When I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. I am has sent me. I am has sent me to you. Oh, that people would in our day hear the gospel in such a way. Hear the gospel in such a way that they know that the message that has been proclaimed by the one preaching it, that it arrests their soul so much that they hear and they know that they are spoken to by the living God. That God has sent this message by the messenger. Oh, that's the way the world is turned upside down. Not by anything we imagine we can do, not by any programs we come up with, but when God come by the Spirit, where the Spirit of the living God come upon the preaching of the Word of God, they know that God is speaking. Oh, that we would know that. Oh, that we would know that in our day. I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. The title of the message, if you need a title for taking notes, is this: Knowing who the true Saviour God is. Knowing who the true Saviour God is. For ask people about God. Just ask anyone. Just ask anyone you have a conversation with. Ask anyone about God or who they understand God to be. And see, on the whole, the vast majority have not got a clue. They have not got a clue who God is. Without getting political, it was an interesting observation I heard on the radio last night. People were talking about this in our EU referendum we've been having in this country. And they were pointing out the stupidity of some people who voted out of the EU. They noticed that there were thousands upon thousands the day after, thousands upon thousands of hits on a particular Google site about, entitled basically, the Google site was entitled, What is the EU? That's how foolish people are about most things in this world. And especially about who God is. Haven't got a clue. They talk a lot about who they think God is, but they haven't got a clue. And they'll head off after anything that claims to be God. Any false religion that comes along claiming to be from God, and they will follow after it blindly. But ask them what it really means. They haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue. They only know what men have told them. Oblivious they are at worst. And at best, their view of God, of who the Saviour Jesus Christ is in particular, at best, it'd be totally corrupted, a totally corrupted notion of Christ. Just read Galatians 1. It's a perversion of the gospel. It's been turned around. That's what it means. It's been turned around to be something that it's not. Christ has been given an identity change. He is not the Christ of the scriptures. Not the Christ that most people believe in. You see, you must never, ever presume just because people call themselves Christian and believing on Christ as Saviour, even calling him their personal Saviour, even claiming to be born again, you must never presume that such, that the one they believe is the true God. You can't presume upon these things. There have been throughout history, throughout the history of this world, throughout the history of the church, there have been constantly many who have claimed to be of Christ. John says, the Apostle John says, they came out from among them, from among us. They came out from among the true teaching, from among the following of the true Christ, because they were not of us, because they were not of Christ. Moses here was sent to the Israelites by the Lord God, the only Lord God, the one Lord God, the great I Am. He was to be sent to these people to proclaim a message to them, a message of deliverance. And he quite wisely asks the Almighty these words. This man who has already said, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go with this message? Who am I? What strength do I have? What abilities do I have?" He quite wisely asks, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Now, some people would think this is a strange thing for Moses to say. Not at all. Not at all. The children of Israel, the physical children of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, the physical descendants of Isaac, the physical descendants of Jacob, who is Israel, who was changed, his name was changed to Israel. They were the physical descendants. For some 400 years they have been here in Egypt. They not only have forgotten God, they have no notion of God. And firstly, note, when you seek to bring the gospel to those who know not Christ, you must realize that by nature, all have absolutely no comprehension of who God really is. We talk about God. We talk about believe Christ. We talk about Christ being the way to God. They have no notion, no comprehension of who God is. Not who he really is. Now, as the Israelites had been given over to bondage and slavery in Egypt, so all people in their fallen nature, fallen into sin in Adam, for in Adam all were made sinners. All in their fallen nature, like the Israelites, have only, as regards to any notion of God, have only the imaginations of their sinful, wicked hearts. corrupt hearts. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. The intentions and thoughts of the heart are only wicked, always. And so the understanding of God, the imagination of who God is wickedness. It's foolish. That's the only imagination, that's the only comprehension man by nature has of God. It comes from corrupt hearts for their understanding of God. Romans 1:21-23 tells of the natural understanding that man has of God. Turn with me to Romans 1 then. Romans 1 verse 21. This is what God says of all by nature. Look from verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That's natural religion. That's all religion according to the teachings of man. It's idolatry. It's the worship of the creation rather than the creator. It is the worship of man. It places man at the center, the most important place in that religion. That's all religion. That's all man-made religion, you see. The Israelites here, having been for so many generations, even some 400 years in Egypt, and on the whole, apart from just a few faithful ones, yes, we read of a few faithful ones, God always has his remnant in every generation who do not bow the knee to idols. But there were only a few. Yes, we read of the parents of Moses, do we not? They were faithful. Not many, though. Not many. A few faithful ones. But on the whole, the people would have been under the influence of idolatry. In idolatrous Egypt, with their many false gods. And this proved to be the case anyway. You just need to fast forward. Fast forward to Exodus 32 to see that this lay at the heart of all these people by nature. This was the influence upon their hearts in their upbringing. See Exodus 32. Verses 1 to 6. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed, he was up in the mountain receiving the commands of the Lord. When Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt. What blasphemy! The man who brought us out of Egypt. They ascribe no greatness to God. You see, there were many who were physically brought out of Egypt, would be physically brought out of Egypt. But we look in hindsight in chapter 32, but very few believed. Very few believed. And as we will see, the majority of them perished in the wilderness. The man who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a moulded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast for the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You don't need to look much further than round the corner from here. A few streets away, up and down this city, that's the worship of Christ, so called. They proclaim it a feast to the Lord, the true Lord God, but it's according to the imagination of their hearts. It's idolatry. It's the worship of man and his free will. This is in the heart of all men by nature. This heart of idolatry is the fallen, sinful state of all born into the world. Oblivious to the real, only, true, almighty God. Why? Because, as God's word says, the wicked are estranged. We know what the word estranged means, don't we? Someone who has nothing to do with someone. They've completely gone away. They completely have nothing to do with the other one. And that is the state of God's people, even his elect. Even his elect are found amongst the mass of humanity who have gone estranged from God. Even us who believe now, it was said of us, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned aside, everyone to his own way." The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born. When? When is someone a sinner? Is it nurture or nature? As soon as they are born. Does that mean a baby is a sinner? As soon as they are born. When the child is playing up, it's not cute. It's sin. It's sin. It's wickedness. Oh, you can't say that. I don't say it. God says it. God said it. Do you call God a liar? They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Who are the biggest liars in this world? Babies. They cry for nothing so often because they want their own way. They're in need of nothing. Just ask any parent who's truthful about their children. They'll tell you it is so. It is absolutely so. Psalm 58:3. And some would say, "I resent that. I resent that. You can't say that. I'm not. We're not all wicked." They may well say that, but that's because our understanding of the word wicked is based upon the wickedness of our hearts, the deceitfulness of our hearts that tells us wickedness means something else. Is that so? Well, the true God of all, the God of all truth, says to such who will not accept things, "The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good." There is none that does good. Not just those who outwardly say, "I don't believe in God." There's none who does good. You sitting there, in your human nature, you do absolutely no good whatsoever. And the man speaking to you as well. Psalm 14:1. But surely this is not speaking of all people. For not all people in the world reject the existence of God. Well, no. For all by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. Yeah, we hold to understandings of who we think God is. But that's not God. That's not God. That's not the Almighty. We won't have Him rule over us. We say no to Him. And so the true God, as this verse in Psalm 14 literally means, says of all humanity by nature, we are saying with absolute defiance, no. No. That's what it's meaning. No to God. Secondly, see, in the preaching of the gospel, there is only one name that must be proclaimed. Only one name. No getting around it. No beating around the bush. There is one name that must be proclaimed. But as the children of Israel here in Egypt knew not the true God, nor His all-sufficient name, I am that I am. And so too, all sinners know not Christ, nor His name, Jesus, God is salvation. As all are by nature, in what Egypt here typifies bondage to sin. And Moses was to be sent to proclaim a message of deliverance, salvation from this bondage in Egypt. And God's messengers today in the preaching of the gospel are sent forth to proclaim this gospel, this good news of sovereign grace and mercy. In God our Saviour, the good news of sovereign grace. Christ Jesus the Lord being that message. That name. That one name. That there is full and complete forgiveness and mercy and pardon from sin and liberty. Absolute liberty from condemnation through the person and work of Christ Jesus. The message is this: Christ and Him crucified. That's it. But that's not what you hear today. You hear all manner of so-called sermons that are not preaching Christ and Him crucified in all the scriptures. They may give a message on all kinds of things that tickle the ears, that make people feel good, that give people some legalistic way of living their life, but it does not deal with their problem. Their problem being their being in total dominion under sin. And upon the pleading of the name of Him who is the great I Am, Christ Jesus, upon pleading this name, Romans 10 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, brought forth out of bondage into liberty, brought forth out of condemnation into absolute pardon, declared not guilty, justified in God's sight. It is a fact that no one can come to call on this Saviour, though, having not known who He is. You hear people say, I've just always been a believer. How can that be so? You must come to know him who is that Saviour. For see again, Romans 10. Turn with me to Romans 10 again. Romans 10 and reading from verse 14. Romans 10 verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And please note the word here. Sent. Sent. For not all who claim to preach the word of God are sent of God. For see, thirdly, God sends his messenger. God does the sending. God does the sending. God sends his messenger with the message of his grace. And Moses was not going now as he had attempted, as we read in Exodus 2. As he had attempted in the past of his own steam, in his own strength, in his own understanding, in his own wisdom, of his own doing. He fell flat on his face, did he not? He now was sent by God and in his almighty power. That's the difference. We read in Exodus 3:10, come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh. I will send you. I've raised you up. Unless they be raised up, they're not sent of God. Unless they be equipped of God, they're not sent of God. And I do believe that the man of God, sent of God, is given great weakness to know great strength. Great weakness. To come to that point, as with Moses saying, who am I that I should go? I can't do it. Correct. You cannot do it. But I will send thee unto Pharaoh. See also verse 12. And he said, God said, certainly I will be with you. I will be with you. He's not going in his own strength. He's going in the power and might of the living God. The great I am. Oh, that the message would be received in these days. As I said already, I say again, in the strength, in the people knowing that God is speaking. Forget about the man. God is speaking. Is God speaking now? Is he speaking to you now? Hear him. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, verse 14, I am has sent me unto you. There be many who bring a message, yes, of sorts. It's a message about Jesus. They say the name Jesus 100 times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But he's an imposter, Jesus. He's not this Jesus. He's not the great I am. They speak this message. They say he's the Saviour God. But they clearly are not sent. How can we say this? How do we know this? Well, it is true. You cannot always absolutely, as to look into the heart of man, you can't do that. You cannot absolutely know absolutely who is of God. But we do get indicators in the scriptures. For yet the Apostle Paul tells us these words in 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I didn't come to you primarily with great ability. Of course, God raises up his man. He gives him the gift to speak. He must have the gift to proclaim the word. He must have the gift of preaching. But he's talking about the certainty of what his preaching depended upon. It wasn't the excellence of speech. It wasn't the teachings of a man. It wasn't to learn the philosophies of a man who claimed to be a believer, who claimed to be a theologian. He didn't teach even the great teachings of the Apostle Paul. And he wouldn't have given the great teachings, if he were around today, of great theologians that have gone before, faithful men. He wouldn't have come teaching us their writings. There's a place for those things, but not in the preaching of the gospel. That is not the basis of it. I didn't come in the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I declared to you the testimony of God from God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The simplicity of the gospel. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, human reasoning, giving great illustrations. Oh, that was a great illustration. I'll come and believe on the Lord. No. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What was this demonstration of the Spirit? What was it? That they saw signs and wonders? Of course it wasn't. Faith doesn't come by signs and wonders. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he preached the word of God. He preached the message of Christ, comparing spiritual with spiritual, as he says in 1 Corinthians 2 elsewhere. The word of God, interpreting the word of God, the Spirit of God, in the power of the Spirit of God, proclaiming this message. The apostle clearly warns us of using our thoughts, our intellect, our reasoning in seeking to declare who Christ is. Who is sufficient for these things, Paul says elsewhere. We can't declare who Christ is by our reasoning. We haven't got a clue how to declare Christ of our own intellect and of our own wisdom. And indeed, we must beware of such as who do teach as doctrines the traditions and commands of man. Yes, they may flower it and paper over it with a few scriptures, gospel scriptures here and there. But look deep and see where does their absolute teaching come from? It's coming from the traditions of man. Fourthly, God sends the message. God sends the messenger. But God must send the message. God must send the message. The true preacher sent from God. Well, I can only speak for myself. But I know all who I would speak to, I would say, I know they are preaching the word of God. I haven't got a clue what they're going to preach. Have not got a clue what they're going to preach. They may be going through a book in the Bible like we're going through here in Exodus. I haven't got a clue what I'm going to preach. Sometimes very late. I haven't got a clue what I'm going to preach. I haven't got a clue. I may know the content of the word. I haven't got a clue what the message is. God must lead. God must give that message. For God sends the message of Christ to his people alone. For Christ is not made manifest. He's not revealed. He is not made manifest. Not brought to shine in the hearts, as we read of in 2 Corinthians 6. He's not brought to shine in the hearts of all men. That's just not so. Only as many as the Father gave unto Christ Jesus the Son will come unto him. Who have believed our report? Isaiah says in Isaiah 53. Who have believed our report? And in his next question, he's actually answering the question. If you see it in context. Who have believed our report? This declaration of the gospel of Christ that he goes on to proclaim even before Christ carried out that work at Calvary. Nonetheless, he is the Lamb of God which is slain from the foundation of the world. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Revealed. God does the revealing. God reveals himself. Oh, we wish we could. We wish we could reveal Christ to others. We can't. We can't. And when we speak of our faith, when we speak of our personal experience of salvation in Christ, the only ones who know what we're talking about, who have got a single iota, who have got a single clue of what we're talking about, are those who have come to know the same Saviour. It is certain that the true saving name of Christ Jesus, who says, as he said to Moses, the same Saviour, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The same Saviour speaks here. No man comes to the Father except through me. Only through this name. Only through this name. Only through knowing who this Christ is. Only through this Christ being made known to you. Can you know who God is? Can you know God? This same Jesus. This same I am. This same great God is only revealed to the people God has chosen to save. As Moses was sent, Moses was not sent throughout all Egypt, was he? Moses was sent to go to a certain people. A certain people, the great I am. Purposed to save and call out of this bondage in Egypt to great liberty. And so it is equally true as we look at the spiritual Israel, who are the church called out of every nation, as we look at the spiritual Israel, it is equally true of this Israel, the Israel of God, both of Jew and Gentile. They are a particular number, known only unto God. A particular number. He sends his message of free grace in Christ to through his messenger. But unlike Moses, the messenger, the preacher of the gospel knows not who those people are that he's sent to. And when we read the words of the Saviour in John 14:6, we must see also that no one can come unto the Father except through him who he is, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But also, don't lose sight of this, also Christ who is God, I am, the one who says, I am the way, the truth and the life, no man comes to the Father except through me, is the one who gives the call. No man comes to the Father except through me. But you can't come to Christ to come through him unless he call you. He's the one who gives the call. No preacher saying salvation is offered to you now and Christ is waiting for you to come through him can bring salvation. That is a false gospel. That's a perversion of the gospel. That's the worship of idols. That's placing you in control of your salvation. That's making you God. No. He is the one who gives the call, and only through hearing his voice, only through hearing his voice, as we will see next time, we haven't got time to look at it today, but God goes on to say to Moses, they will hear you. Moses, who was fearful of these people who rejected him before, remember when he sought to correct those two Israelites who were fighting, and one had seen him kill the Egyptian the day before. And he was fearful and he fled to Midian. This fearful Moses now is told, they will hear you because they're hearing me. The God who sent you. And so through hearing his voice, only through hearing his voice, can anyone come unto God. For he says in John 10:14-16, declaring himself to be, I am that I am. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. They've not yet come in. They've not come to know they belong to me. They've not come to know that I have given my life a ransom for them. They have not come to hear the call. But they will. They will. For he says of a certainty, them also I must bring. I am that I am. I need no other. I am Almighty God. I must bring, so I will not fail, being God. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. That's how I will bring them. They shall hear my voice in the preaching of the gospel, because I will come upon them by my Spirit, and they shall be born again. They shall be made alive to see the kingdom of God. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Finally, as we close, do you know who Christ Jesus the Lord is? Not just about him, not just the historical facts. It's possible for the whole of humanity to know about Christ. But that's not the question. Do you know who Christ Jesus the Lord is? That's a personal thing. Is he revealed to you? Has he been revealed to you? Is he revealed to you now? Right now? If so, then call on him right now. Now is the accepted time. If you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you're hearing his voice now, now, I can say emphatically, is the accepted time. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on the name of the Son of God now. What did that Ethiopian eunuch say to Philip? He was reading from Isaiah 53, but he knew nothing of this Saviour. How can I know unless someone show me? And at the end of showing him who the Saviour was in the power of God the Holy Spirit, because this was one who must come, who must hear the shepherd's voice, he said, what stops me? What stops me? What forbids me from being baptised? If you believe that he is the Christ, if you believe that he is the Christ, do you believe on the Christ? The good news of Christ and what he said and did are recorded here in God's word, that his saving name be revealed to as many as were ordained unto eternal life. That's why it's recorded. Who believe on his name. John, under inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit says in John 20, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. These. Behold these. Pay attention to these. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed of God. He's the mediator between God and men. But not only this. This is the importance in the gospel. He is not only a son prophet. He's not only some mere man, that he is the Christ, but he is God. He is I am, the Son of God. If we do not proclaim openly and honestly that we believe that Jesus Christ is God, we be liars. For he says, and that believing you might have life through his name. Do you believe the God of your fathers? Moses said at the outset, when I come and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they shall say, who is he? Because the God of their fathers, as far back as they could look, worshipped idols. They had no comprehension of the faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The fathers that God was speaking of. The forefathers. Those who believed before. And maybe you hold to a form of believing, a kind of Christianity even, which is of your fathers, of your family, of your traditions. Do you believe in the God of your fathers? The God of tradition? The God of that which has been passed down to you? Which is an idol? Or do you believe the God of the fathers? The fathers who are called in Hebrews 11, those who believed God. You who know Christ, the great I am, behold the value of his redemption that you have through his name. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received from who? Received from who? By tradition from your fathers. What did you receive? What did you receive naturally in the flesh from your mother and father? Sin. Corruptible things. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, brought to light, shone in your heart in these last times for you. Was it for you? Was it for you? You who are brought to know Christ. That's who it was for. Who he has shone in your hearts to reveal God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, praise and glory unto this great name. Amen.